entitled Two Kinds of Wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness.
Thank you, Steve. And I'd like to invite Reverend Max Rowell to come and give us a good word. But before we do that, let me just pray for you. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for this opportunity that we have now to get to know Matt in the next few months, maybe a few years, depending, as our moderator while during this time interregnum. We do pray for this morning that you will speak through Matt in the words that he's already prepared, or you have already prepared for him, Lord, that we keep our open hearts and open minds to receive your word and your blessing, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Ken, and good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you all. I'll just move that out of the way so I don't headbutt it by mistake. But it's my joy and privilege to be with you today. I was saying to Rachel, my wife, as I came here this morning, I think the last time I was possibly here worshipping in this space was as a spotty-faced teenager when David Morris was inducted. And so it's lovely to be able to be with you this morning. But also there's more history between us than just me being here as a teenager some time ago. Our church, Arbury Road Baptist Church, was actually planted from this church congregation here out into the north of the city as the north of Cambridge was developed. And so it's my joy to be able to come and serve you guys as your moderator during this time. And I bring the greetings of Arbury Road down here into central Cambridge with me this morning as well. And it's also my joy to serve as your moderator, as Ken's already mentioned, during this time of pastoral vacancy. As I was chatting to Chris and talking about what I might share with you this morning, she said that you've been working through this letter of James, and that maybe I might like to continue the next part of the series and this passage from chapter 3 that we've just read together, all about wisdom. So I went away, I read over the passage, I thought about it, and I said, I don't think they really want me to preach about this. As someone who's been invited to come and speak in a church, you usually are expected to be the sort of person who's very wise and impressive. I don't know whether you're getting that vibe from me already. I dressed smart for you this morning just so you thought I might have a chance, but you're expected to have a certain amount of wisdom. And hopefully, as over the coming weeks and months, I might, as I serve as your moderator, hopefully I'll be able to share some of the wisdom that I have with you as a church together. But I also recognize the limits of my wisdom. If you have a chat to Rachel or even my kids, they will very quickly point out to you all the things where there is room for improvement in my own life. And yes, Rachel, I saw you looking at me and raising an eyebrow. We all have areas where our wisdom can grow and develop. And this morning, here we are at St. Andrew's Street Baptist Church in the heart of Cambridge, the home of Cambridge University, university colleges and clever minds all around us. And you've asked me to talk about wisdom. So I thought I'd start by doing a little bit of expectation management for you this morning, okay? A little bit about me. I'm from Leeds, and I didn't go to Cambridge University, other than when I came for David's induction service. I'd never been to Cambridge before. Instead, I went to De Montfort University. De Montfort University, or DMU in Leicester, as we call it. But another thing about me is that I'm also dyslexic. So when I say I went to DMU University, that can very easily and very quickly become DUM University, and I'll let you work out the rest about my intelligence level from there. So what are our expectations when we talk about this subject of wisdom? Are wisdom and knowledge the same thing? As we look at this passage together, what is it that we can learn about wisdom, and what can I, little Matt from Arbury, who went to DUM or DMU, learn or say about wisdom? We're living in a time where the church is facing all sorts of challenges. I've been in rooms and in conversations where there are strong differences of opinion. In our wider Baptist family, this is a very, very current theme, and one that will be going on, and a conversation that will be going on just this week. Both sides of different arguments and different debates have lots of knowledge and ideas to be able to share about their own particular positions and opinions. But the challenge for the church and for us as a society as a whole, because these polls don't just operate in the church, they operate in our society as well, is not just to be the most knowledgeable people as we follow Jesus, but it's to be wise as we follow difference. And there is, I believe, a difference between these two skills and gifts. We are living in the information age. If I asked you a question, you could probably all pull out your mobile phone and give me the answer to what it was. So for example, if I said, what's the greatest football team in the world? You would undoubtedly come back with Leeds United. Because we live in the information age, and with all this knowledge at our fingertips, we are smarter than ever before. And so you therefore think that with all this knowledge at our fingertips, we might therefore be wiser as well. Surely increased knowledge leads to increased wisdom. So if we carry this logic forward, if we're becoming smarter, if we're becoming wiser, then surely this means the world is getting better. If knowledgeable people are making wise decisions, then surely the world will naturally become a better and a brighter place to live. And yet, we're all aware that just one look at the news and we can see that our world is often a darker and more divided place than maybe many of us have ever seen it before. War, famine, inequality, political instability, future uncertainty, just some of the factors that we see running rife in our world today. We have the great privilege of living and serving in Cambridge, this city that is known the world over for the knowledge and the wisdom that is nurtured here and cultivated right on our doorstep, and praise God for that. Yet right here in our city, with all its knowledge and all its wisdom, we also live in one of the most divided cities in the UK. The town and the gown, central Cambridge, where you guys are based, and north Cambridge, where I am based, are two very different areas. This morning, as we look at this passage, I want to suggest that as we follow Jesus, maybe we need to recalibrate our understanding of wisdom. We live in a world where we have all this knowledge, but as we invest in all this knowledge and consume all this knowledge, could it be that we might have lost track of wisdom? James, who wrote this letter, was well known and respected as someone who was wise. In fact, this whole letter is really an attempt for James to share the wisdom that he has with the wider church. And so we're going to think about how we might recalibrate wisdom and our understanding of wisdom as we follow Jesus as members of his church today. Jesus starts this passage by asking a very simple question. Who is wise among you? Now, I don't know you all very well, but I wonder this morning, how would you answer that question? Do you think you are wise? Who are the people in your church family here at St. A's that you would consider to be wise? And what is it that makes them wise? If we're honest, we probably all like to think that we are wise in some way, shape, or form. As I read these verses, I can almost imagine James asking the question to the church, who is wise amongst you? And all the church standing there with their hands up going, yeah, me, I'm wise. I like to think I'm wise. Choose me. But then James follows it up with the second part of verse 13 and says, well, if you're wise, show it by your good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. We could probably spend a good amount of time unpacking that statement alone, but this morning, the main point that I want to take from this passage is that wisdom is not something that is seen on paper. Wisdom is not seen in, is seen in how you act. If you want to see who is wise, don't look at someone's qualifications, don't look at someone's experience, don't look at how well they speak. True wisdom is seen in how we live. Intellectualism is a huge and wonderful gift that we are blessed with. I'm grateful that I'm sure there are many people throughout this world who are far brighter and smarter than me. I imagine there are many people in this room who are far brighter and smarter than me, that we have wonderful minds that I could only dream of having. But being an intellectual doesn't necessarily mean that we are wise. Having knowledge doesn't necessarily equate to wisdom. I was thinking about the best way that I could illustrate this to you this morning, and my wife and I are big fans of the TV show Taskmaster. Has anyone seen Taskmaster? No? Right, okay, I'll explain it just in case you haven't. Taskmaster is a TV show, and as the title gives away, there's a Taskmaster, and he sets a whole load of comedians and celebrities silly tasks, and basically challenges them to do them the most effectively. And what always fascinates me is that you see some really, really smart people making some really, really ridiculous decisions, and it's great comedy TV to watch. And Rachel and I quite often sit down on an evening and watch an episode of Taskmaster together to have a laugh at what they come up with. Wisdom is not seen in what we know, but it is seen in how we live. When we are wise, our life is good to those around us. When we are wise, we are a blessing to those around us. When we are wise, we don't just think about what our own interests and our own opinions and our own reputations are, but we bless those around us. Often with knowledge, we find that knowledge can be lifted up and placed on a higher pedestal. And don't mishear me, I'm all for honoring and recognizing people's gifts and achievements. That's great. But wisdom is not seen in pride and honor, but it is seen in humility and service to others. When we have knowledge, it can be easy to flex our intellectual muscles, to point out the faults in another's arguments, to try and impress how much we might know and look at what I can prove. When we are knowledgeable, we can try and win the argument. But that's not the way of wisdom. Rather, wisdom is good deeds done in humility and service to others. And so this morning, can I ask this same question that James asks the church in this passage to you here as a church community? Who is wise amongst you? Who is wise here at St. Andrew Street Baptist Church? If you are wise, then how do you show that wisdom? When you look for wisdom, what is it that you are looking for? Who is it that might have blessed you through the wisdom that they have shown towards you? Could it be today that maybe we need to recalibrate our understanding of wisdom? Do we need to look beyond the impressive and instead see the humble? Do we need to look beyond the smart and see that which is good? Do we need to look beyond the knowledgeable and see those who serve? As you go through this time of pastoral vacancy as a church, who are the wise voices that you are inviting in to speak to your life together as a church family? As you look for a new minister, what wisdom is it that you are looking for them to portray? As James says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility. So having encouraged the church to recalibrate their understanding of wisdom, James encourages us to recognize how God's wisdom is different from that of the wisdom that surrounds us in the world. It's worth noticing here that James doesn't tell us anywhere in this passage how to be wise. This isn't sort of like you can go down to Waterstones down the street, pick up the latest self-help book and say, right, I'm wise now, I've got that box ticked. He doesn't tell us that if we want to be wise, then we need to go to school. He doesn't tell us that if we want to be wise, we need to pass our exams or to get a good job. He doesn't even tell us that to be wise, you have to go to theological college and be a Baptist minister. Shock, horror. Wisdom does not emerge out of what we do, but rather who we are. Wisdom is a character trait that is grown and developed within our lives. It's not a life skill that we learn from a textbook. So the question is, what is it that's shaping our character? What is developing the wisdom that we are living our lives by? In verses 14 to 16, James tells us of two different sources of wisdom that we can find as we seek to follow Jesus. In verses 14 to 15, he tells us about worldly wisdom. Wisdom that does not come from heaven, but in pretty damning terms, he says, is earthly, unspiritual, and even demonic. This kind of wisdom is demonstrated in a life full of bitterness, envy, and selfish ambition. In other words, the complete opposite to the vision of wisdom that James has just shared with us in verse 13. Having talked about this worldly kind of wisdom that contrasts of what the kind of wisdom that James wants to see in the church, he then starts to move us to think about a different kind of wisdom, a wisdom that is rooted in its heavenly nature. When I think of this kind of wisdom, my mind goes to King Solomon. If you're not familiar with who King Solomon is, you can read about him in the book of Kings, but Solomon is widely recognized as one of the wisest people in the whole of the Bible. Solomon started by just being faithful to God, and in 1 Kings 3, we're told that Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions given him by his father David. Because Solomon was faithful to God, one night God said to Solomon, I've got an opportunity for you. You can ask for any one thing and I will give it to you. Just take a moment to consider that. If God came to you this morning and said, you've been really good. I want to give you one thing, any one thing you ask of, I will give it to you. What would you ask for? Maybe it would be like, Cambridge is pretty expensive. It'd be nice to have a bit more money just so I could have that comfortable lifestyle. Or maybe it'd be, I'd really like to do and get a new job and really excel in my career. Or maybe I just really want people to truly love and respect me. It'd be nice to have children that obey me and all the parents said amen. And then others of us might be a bit more wholesome and say, do you know what? We just long to see peace on earth, or whatever else it might be that you long to see. But Solomon chose something different. Instead, he asked God to give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. And we're told that the Lord was pleased by what Solomon had asked, that Solomon had asked for this wisdom. And so God gave Solomon what he asked for. And in chapter 4 of 1 Kings, we're told that he gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Wisdom is not defined by the world around us, but it is a gift from God. And because wisdom is a gift from God, we need to remember to keep pursuing it, to pray for it, to ask for it. This wisdom is radically different to the wisdom of the world around us. When the wisdom of the world around us tells us to retaliate, the kingdom of heaven and this heavenly wisdom tells us to turn the other cheek. When the world around us says to keep and to store and to hoard and to look after ourselves first, Jesus and his kingdom and his wisdom says, give generously and bless others. When the world around us says, look after your own interests, Jesus says, love your neighbor as you would love yourself. James asks us, who is wise amongst you? But he also asks us to consider what wisdom it is that we value. What wisdom is it that we are pursuing? Do we value and appreciate the wisdom that the world values? Or do we long for this heavenly wisdom that God loves to give to those who ask for it? How might we recalibrate wisdom, that we might follow and embrace the wisdom of Jesus as we follow him as his disciples this morning? How might we ask God to give us the gift of his wisdom as his church today? James tells us that this recalibration of wisdom is essential for the church as we follow Jesus today. The wisdom that is from God is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, impartial, and sincere, and it also results in peace. Contrast this with the wisdom of the world, and it's obvious which one is going to be better and a blessing to all people, yet alone for us to pursue as we follow Jesus today. But this is more important than just improving that we are right and we're on the right track. Godly wisdom makes us effective in our mission as Jesus's disciples today. As we are wise, peace is made amongst people, and that peace leads to a harvest of righteousness as the kingdom of God advances. James himself is a great example of this and was widely known as a peacemaker within the early church. We don't have time to look at this in detail today, but when the church was in conflict, James was the one who spoke up and brought clarity and wisdom that the whole church could unite behind. When the early church faced challenges and questions, they turned to James as the person to give them guidance as to which way they might go forward. The way of wisdom is one that unites and doesn't divide. The way of wisdom holds what we think in tension with what others might think. The way of wisdom looks beyond what we think and looks to how we can follow Jesus together as his disciples. It's a way of wisdom that unites the church in its purpose of worshiping Jesus. It's the way of wisdom that inspires the church in its mission of making the good news of Jesus known to all people. It's the way of wisdom that grows the church, that glorifies, honors, and pleases God. So James asks the question, who is wise and understanding amongst you? Throughout this time of pastoral vacancy, and throughout the church, both here at St. A's, across the Baptist Union, across the country, across the world, may we pursue God's wisdom. May we not mistake our knowledge and our achievements as being wise, but may we seek God and ask him to reveal his wisdom in us. Where differences of opinion exist, where difference or disagreement erupts, may we not try to win the argument, but may we be wise that we might find a path of unity that we can all follow together. And in all we do, as we recalibrate wisdom, may we demonstrate our wisdom in how we live to one another. May we be good and humble, that we might be a blessing to all those around us. And may we live our lives in a way that is pleasing and honoring to God as we pursue his wisdom together. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are the one true God, the source of all goodness and wisdom. And Lord, as we follow you this morning, we pray that you would make us wise as you are wise. Would you give us a wise and discerning heart that might be receptive, not just to the wisdom of the world around us, but to that greater, higher wisdom that comes from you alone. Lord, we pray that we might be wise, that through your wisdom at work in us, you might be pleased with us, and that your kingdom might continue to grow and advance as people encounter you through us. And Lord, this morning, I especially pray for this church community here in this place at St. A's. Lord, during this time of pastoral vacancy, would they know and receive your wisdom as they continue to serve you and worship you here in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.